There was a discussion at the gym the other day. How long can we go and keep saying Happy New Year? And someone suggested we could do it all the way through April. So I'm not really sure what the rules are, but
Sounds like the challenge.
it does. So we're only the seventh, and so it's going to be a good opportunity for us to learn new things and to hear what the Lord has for us in this new year of 2024. We're all still trying to get our mouth around 24. We barely made it through 23, getting it right. So it'll be a challenge for this year. So I mentioned one of the things we'd like to do in one of my notes is really live into this life that Jesus has given us. And what does that mean? What's it look like? How do we do that? And so I want to spend a few weeks just looking at various passages that kind of show us this, what the life of Jesus really was like. And so we're going to look in Luke chapter 6 this morning. But let me read this paragraph, this introductory paragraph of the Kingdom Way of Life. One of Isaiah's prophecies regarding Jesus states, he possessed no distinguishing beauty or outward splendor to catch our attention, nothing special in his appearance to make us desire him. This physical ordinariness hid Jesus' majesty from public view. His humble origin, place of upbringing, rural accent, and clothing all kept his full identity well concealed until his hour had come. His disciples spent 3.5 years doing double takes at the surprising things he said and did in their presence. In all that time, what they were witnessing firsthand was the mesmerizing, sometimes shocking, kingdom way of life right before their eyes. So everything Jesus taught is what Jesus did. If he gave a commandment, gave some instruction, it's what he did. And so he wasn't telling, it wasn't just a matter of do as I say, not as I do. It was do as I say, as I do. And so they were constantly amazed at the things he did, all the miracles and that kind of thing that he did, certainly the walking on water for the three guys that were on the Mount of Transfiguration were shocked to the point of practically passing out. There seems to be a lot of that when people encounter God in scripture, if you've noticed. So all of these things that Jesus was doing and expressing to them in way of teaching or encouragement were all the things that were just normal to him, average, ordinary things that he would normally be doing. And if you've ever traveled to different areas, just before the service started, we were talking about different accents and the way people pronounce names. It's totally normal to them. And, they don't even think a certain thing of it. And we're left going, what was that they just said? Or table manners are different from country to country. Various things. Some people drive on the other side of the road, and some people drive on both sides of the road, depending on which house they're living in. Not at the same time, I think, but so we're surprised. We see things like, oh, well, I wonder what that was. I didn't get that. And so we're shocked when we're with people or they just do things that we weren't expecting them to do. And that's what Jesus was doing constantly because he came from the kingdom of heaven. And here's how it works in the kingdom of heaven. This is what we do. And so the disciples were constantly amazed and going, wow, what is this? So let's look at this passage that we've seen before, but I want us to look at it from a little bit of a different perspective here today. In Luke 6, starting in verse 27 through 36. So let me read this passage and be looking at it in the sense of how is Jesus showing the disciples the kingdom way of life? Jesus said, if you will listen, I say to you, Love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. When someone curses you, bless that person in return. When you're mistreated and harassed by others, accept it as your mission to pray for them. To those who despise you, continue to serve them and minister to them. If someone takes away your coat, give them as a gift your shirt as well. When someone comes to beg from you, give to that person what you have. When things are wrongly taken from you, do not demand they be given back. However you wish to be treated by others is how you should treat everyone else. Are you really showing true love by only loving those who love you back? Even those who don't know God will do that. Are you really showing compassion when you do good deeds to only to those who do good deeds to you? Even those who don't know God will do that. If you lend money only to those you know will repay you, what credit is that to your character? Even those who don't know God do that. But love your enemies and continue to treat them well. When you lend money, don't despair if you're never paid back, for it is not lost. You will receive a rich reward, and you will be known as true children of the Most High God, having his same nature. For your Father is famous for his kindness to heal even the thankless and cruel. Show mercy and compassion for others, just as your Heavenly Father overflows with mercy and compassion for all. So often we look at this, from the horrible thing of you've got to love your enemies or else, But I think in this passage, what Jesus is doing is what he's saying to the disciples is not shocking. This is what we do. This is how we do this. And so he's just saying, this is how it works. And, I was thinking of this kind of looking through and pondering certain passages of scripture. And it's like, when did we ever see God's reaction of hatred towards someone? And I'm like, God was never, he never seemed to get upset with people when they did these things. Now, the ones we do see are when someone hurts his children. Well, then he becomes like Mama Bear and he's out to get them because they did bad things to his people. And God is never happy with that. And we see a God of vengeance at that point, but not because of hurting him personally, but by hurting his children, those he loves, those he's chosen. Then God is, he really steps into action in a pretty quick way. So let's look a little closer at the first four verses, 27 through 31. And the blank in number one is kingdom love is characterized by selflessness. I originally wanted to put non-offendability, but that's not a word. So I would never do anything like that. But kingdom love is characterized by selflessness or non-offendability. God can't be offended. He chooses not to be offended for himself. And so Jesus now is giving the disciples kind of a crash course in what kingdom love really is like and how it acts. Now, maybe he was aware and maybe he wasn't aware. I'm sure he was because he was 30 years old and he'd seen how people act, but I don't think it was for shock value that Jesus gave this teaching. I think he's saying, I want you to be like me. I'm inviting you to come. I'm inviting you to live with me and like me and become like me. And so he's describing how kingdom love operates, and it operates in selflessness. Well, we do not live in a world characterized by kingdom love.
No.
Have you noticed?
Mm-hmm.
We often are tempted not to act in a way that shows kingdom love. And we sometimes do get upset with people. And we can take up offense, even not just for ourselves, but for others. And in a And an election year, which is already starting to heat up, even though it's early January, we're in for another 10 months of wildness. And it's hard to be selfless and non-offendable as we read and as we hear things going on. But Jesus is just talking simply here. He's not, you know, he begins here in verse 27 in the Passion Translation. If you will listen, if you're listening, I say to you, love your enemies and do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred. And of course, the disciples like us are going, say what? Like, what? Do something wonderful for them in return for their hatred? You return wonderful for hatred? And Jesus doesn't spend a whole lot of time. He says, when someone curses you, bless that person in return. Bless in return for curses. When you're mistreated and harassed by others, accept it as your mission to pray for them. And so you're choosing, all these things, choose to see the other person not as the enemy. You're unenemying the other person. You're choosing to move toward them. You're choosing to continue to include them and not to just write them off with a gesture or with a haughty look or slamming the door or whatever we might choose to do in the world system. But Jesus always seems to be telling them to move toward the other person, to continue to include them, to be good to them. And, you know, if they take away your coat, give them as a gift, your shirt as well. You know, when they beg from you, give what you have. When you're wrong, they take it wrongly, don't demand that it's given back. And then, of course, this famous verse, however you wish to be treated by others is how you should treat everyone else. Kingdom love, characterized by selflessness. Now, for those of us who've grown up in not with an example of kingdom love around us, but with world love around us, all these things are new. They're brand new. They're wild. They seem like this will never work. People will take advantage of me. Well, Jesus covered that too, didn't he? Well, what if they never give it back? Well, Jesus covered that too. So on and on, these are like we live free of selfishness, and we live selflessly. And I love the fact that when you look at this, this is Jesus saying, well, this is how it works in the kingdom. And then if you look at Jesus' life, did he not do every one of these things? Everything that he's saying to the disciples now, when they curse you, bless them in return, you just on and on. I mean, he's working hard to show them what he will be doing for the next 3 years or whenever he spoke these words. And, you know, this is a version of the Matthew 5 passage, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus kept saying, you've heard it said, but I tell you this, you've heard it said, you know, the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And then he keeps saying, but I'm telling you, so this is what the world tells you. This is what your forefathers have told you, but here's what I'm telling you. Here's my version of this. This is the kingdom life you're called into. This is how love expresses itself.
Yeah.
And even, you know, today in 2024, this type of action towards people is impossible without the intervention of the Holy Spirit. Because we don't want to do that. You know? Somebody cuts us off in traffic? Well, bless you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you so much. You've been such a blessing to me. And I
bless your heart.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And but then we only pass the test if we say it sincerely, right? Not tongue in cheek, not with in the background. And so this is the way love is in the kingdom. And we're invited into the kingdom. We're no longer of this world. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of it. We've been adopted into the kingdom life. And so this is training ground for us to learn to live the kingdom life. And we all have a way to go, of course, but Jesus, I don't think he's pointing a finger saying, stop doing this, stop doing this, stop doing this. I think he's saying, this is the way it is in the kingdom. And here's the example. And what he doesn't say is, you know, maybe it's just in brackets somewhere, you know, you're going to watch me do this all the way through until they actually not only take my shirt, but they take my life. And I'm not demanding it back. So this example of selflessness was shocking from day one all the way through till Jesus went to Calvary. And so it's amazing that we get to watch this and this amazing example for us. Then in verses 32 through the first part of 35, the blank there is kingdom love is characterized by generosity, giving way more than anyone would imagine. You know, he's saying, are you really showing love, only doing it to those who show you love? Like, the world does that. That's normal, you know? And showing compassion when you do good deeds to those who do good deeds to you, and lend money to those you know will repay you. And so there's this generosity. There's this, not even a choosing, it's just, this is the way love is in the kingdom, that they are to live in such a way that they express a generosity that is a constant. It's just the way it is. And if someone asks it of them, they will do it and they won't think twice. Again, I don't think Jesus is pointing a finger. I don't think he's blaming them for anything. He's just saying, this is kingdom love. This is how love is in the kingdom. This is what we do. And you're a part of this now. And so generosity is part of how it works in the kingdom. And you remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And Jesus says, give away all that you have to the poor and then come follow me. And obviously that did not compute. And so giving away everything he owned was not in the works for him. And so he went away sad. So the point there, Jesus was trying to get him to understand how kingdom love operated. And he was not willing to do that. And so generosity was not going to be something that was going to characterize this young ruler, which is part of the problem with money, isn't it? The more we have, the more we want to gather to ourselves, and the more we want to protect what we have to make sure no one takes it away from us. And so kingdom love then is characterized by, you know, all kinds of adjectives there, but just incredible. You know, I was even going to put this, you know, the word prodigal, you know, this wastefully extravagant thing of this giving away to others and not worrying about whether it ever gets turned back to you, given back to you. So not only is it selfless then to a wild degree or wildly generous, the last two verses, half the last half of 35 and then 36, you know, when he's talking, he says, you'll be known as true children of the Most High, having his same nature, for your father is famous for his kindness to heal even the thankless and cruel. Show mercy and compassion for others, just as your heavenly Father overflows with mercy and compassion for all. And so the blank in number three, kingdom love is the Father's very nature. And of course, you know, John will tell us later, God is love. It's the Father's very nature. It's not one characteristic, it is who God is. And of course, John 3:16, God so loved the world. And you know, we sometimes vilify the world, but God so loved the world that he sent his son. And so God still is loving the world, not what the world does, any more than he loves us, you know, for the sin. He loves us despite our sin, despite our failures, despite our weaknesses. So there's this nature of the Father who is love, maybe we say even love personified. This is who he is. When you see him, you see love. And love has many faces, obviously. I mean, as we talked about parents, you know, parents will sometimes scold children when they're doing something that is dangerous. And it's because they love them, not because they don't love them. And they say no to things that some children really want to do for their safety, for what is good for them. And sometimes they're punished for their good, you know, and the famous thing is parents say, this will hurt me more than it hurts you. And children roll their eyes, but, you know, I mean, but it's for their good, isn't it? And even scripture says, you know, whom the Father loves, he corrects, he brings correction to. And so he's a good father. And we sing that song, he's a good, good father. And so we agree also with scripture when it says that no punishment for the moment seems pleasant. You know, when we're being punished, it seems like sometimes if you're really overly dramatic, like I was as a kid and probably still am, you know, we'd say it was like the world is coming to an end. Life will never be good again. No one's ever loved me. Guess I'll go eat some worms, that kind of thing. And yet, later you realize, oh, this was good for me. I probably really needed that. You know, I wish they'd found a different way to communicate that, but you know, that famous wooden spoon in the kitchen was a great reminder of how you are to behave and how you are not to behave. And my mother's wicked left hook was super accurate when she needed to bring correction. So Jesus is talking about kingdom love and inviting the disciples to love like he loved. Jesus was surrounded by enemies, surrounded by people who did not understand, did not appreciate, and to the point that they wanted to get rid of him. And if you think of it from a human standpoint, it must have been super painful from a human standpoint that it was the religious rulers who hated him, that wanted him gone, his own people. He came to his own people and they didn't want him because he was showing kingdom love. And they didn't want that. They wanted nothing to do with that. Therefore, they wanted nothing to do with him, and they wanted him gone. And the religious rulers put a lot of energy in the last few years. It wasn't long into Jesus' ministry before the plotting began, how to get rid of him and to kill him. And even before the religious rulers, the people of his own hometown, you remember they wanted to take him outside the synagogue and throw him off the cliff. And so it was painful that his own people, the people he came for, the people whose heart he carried with him, and they wanted nothing to do with his examples of loving. And yet all that time when he was being rejected, he didn't say, well, forget it then. Who needs you guys?
Yeah.
I'm just going back to heaven and you guys are going to deal with this on your own. Now, he was sent with a mission of love from the Father whose heart was full of love. And he continued to carry it out for 3.5 years or so, right up until they put him to death. Finally, it was like they were winning, and yet in their winning, they were losing, and he was actually the winner. And then as a result, we are the winners, of course.
Thank you.
But this amazing love that is being shown to us in this passage that requires a lot of us, doesn't it? It requires us to think differently, to act differently, to recognize that this is Jesus' person. This is the atmosphere in the kingdom. And it's selfless and it's generous. And it's actually the nature of the kingdom. Despite what people say, despite the lies that are spoken, and this is terrible, and anyone of the kingdom is a hater, is in current language. And Jesus is just explaining how it is in the kingdom with great joy, I think. Because he's saying, you know, when you're selfless, you don't have to worry about anything. It's not about you, you know. And if you're generous and you don't have to worry about getting it back to you, you know, you could sleep at night. You're not worried about whether someone's going to pay you that $50 or whatever it is you gave to them. And then the more you do that, the more we also exhibit the Father's nature. We do it naturally, you know. We just do it naturally. And it's a great introduction here in Luke chapter 6 of the beginning of this year, as we look at living out the kingdom life, living this life that Jesus has given us. There are a few challenges along the way, and this passage brings us a few challenges. Mm-hmm. But wow, I wonder what it would be like if every Christian globally decided, this is how I'm going to live from this day forward. And I'm going to really lean into this, and I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me in this. I wonder how it would revolutionize the world. Now, yesterday we had there was a texting thread going on, and it was interesting. There were three ideas that popped up in one, and one was, you know, some terrible things, some killing going on in Africa, and of course that makes you think of all the other wars and the horrible things that are happening. And then someone, leave you to guess who it was, posted a scene from a movie that always makes him laugh. And then, you know, the third thing is Amelia announced that they were going to go to their newest grandbaby's dedication today, all within this little thread. I'm thinking, okay, that's like living in the now and not yet, isn't it? There's always stuff that burdens us, that worries us, that is horrendous, that we wish would end, that someone would make them stop. And then there's always the fun stuff that is in the middle of it. You know, there's just funny things that happen and movies and whatever. And then there's always the stuff like a baby dedication that everyone loves. It's wow, going and seeing a baby dedicated.
Right.
And that's really sweet. This little girl's name is Eden, which I think is beautiful. And but this is how God is. We live in a world that has all kinds of things. A lot of bad stuff, a lot of funny stuff, and a lot of really heartwarming things. And they're all mixed together, aren't they? They could all happen in the same day. And sometimes within 10 minutes, you could get all of these things mixing together. And God watches and he loves and he cares for all of that. And he weeps first, and he probably laughs because he gets the joke first. And he rejoices first over the happy things that are happening. Because he's a God of love. And so he invites us to be like him. So let's pray together, and then let's talk about maybe the challenges or how excited we are about this kingdom way of life that Jesus presented to the disciples and, of course, to us. So, Father, in this year, 2024, we know that there will be a real mix of horrible things that just cause us to weep, and we know that you weep with those who weep, and you weep first. But in the middle of that, there will be things that are just so hilarious and uproariously funny that you will laugh along with us, because you love a good joke, And then there are those celebration moments, the weddings, the births, the baby dedications, birthday celebrations, anniversaries, those wonderful things that we love to celebrate, knowing that you, along with us, celebrate, give kudos, you enjoy. Jesus enjoyed a good party. And so we know that in all of these things that are wrapped up in this year, this is the life you've given us, and you make provision. You're a God of compassion and love and mercy, and you surround us with your comfort. So in all of these things, when we wish someone Happy New Year, it's not because we don't know that there will be other elements of this year. It's because we know that you walk with us in every one of these elements. Yeah. You invite us to love as you love. And you're patient with us as we learn. You don't expect perfection. You just want us to keep trying. So thank you for the encouragement that is ours on this seventh day of January 2024, that you walk with us. You see the road ahead, and you prepare everything we will need all the way through to midnight, December 31st. Help us to be encouraged and built up with that understanding that nothing this year holds is going to be a surprise to you. You see it, and you see us. So thank you for this great introduction to this year, your love that overflows, your mercies and compassion, even to those who are not merciful or compassionate to you. And we thank you. We thank you for the work that you're doing in our hearts, the growth that you're inviting us into. Thank you for these mercies and compassions that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen.